Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us wherever you might be watching this right now. Today is the very last day of the sweet month of May, one of my favorite months of the year. And that means for many of us officially getting in to the summer mode. Now think back with me, if you will, for a moment. Remember when it was the beginning of springtime? We wanted it to be summer. Because when we think of summer, we may think of swimming at the pool or...
I forgot to turn this on.
You got it on silent? That's okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us wherever you might be watching this right now. And today is the very last day of the sweet month of May, one of my favorite months of the year. And that means we are officially getting into the summer mode, aren't we? Now think back with me, if you will, for a moment. Remember when it was the beginning of spring? Most of us wanted it to be summer. Because when we think of summer, we may think of swimming at the pool or at the beach, having more get-togethers with people, grilling and having cookouts, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Now, I know things are a bit different with the social distancing right now, but I'm sure we still have those memories and those desires of what we want summer to be. It's funny, though, when summer does come with its very warm and humid temps, a lot of us then want it to be the next season. We want it to go into fall. The fall with its cool, dry breezes, the colorful leaves, the apple cider, the pumpkins, and the start of football season. And then fall arrives. And then if you're like me, you begin to look forward to winter. Anyone else like me? Winter with its beautiful snow, at least for the first few snowfalls of the year, right? And then spending Thanksgiving and Christmas with family and friends. But a lot of us, again, when winter does come, we want it to be spring again. Sunny days and blooming flowers and the start of our beloved baseball season. And then the cycle of wanting things different and wanting things to change just keeps repeating over and over and over again. This cycle I'm talking about could also be explained like this. When I am a child, I want to be an adult with freedom and respect. When I am 20 years old, I want to be 30, more mature and sophisticated. When I am middle-aged, I want to go back to 20, full of youth and energy, and in the prime of our life. When I am retired, then I want to be middle-aged, seasoned by experience and life, but without any of the physical limitations of body aches and pains all throughout our body. And when my life is at an end, I realized I never got what I wanted. This is our last sermon in our sermon series entitled For Such a Time as This. And let's do a quick recap of the last 4 weeks here in this series. If you remember in week one, we talked about having a time for greater dependence. The next message was a time for greater discernment. In week three, we looked at a time for greater boldness. Last week, we studied a time for a greater hope. And today it's so appropriate to examine a time for greater refreshment. I'm going to be talking about refreshment today. And if we're all honest, so many of us have parts of our life that are characterized by dissatisfaction always wanting something different or the next big thing, yet feeling empty and even wanting more when we get what we wanted and what we were asking for. If we've ever been disappointed by the emptiness and dissatisfaction of life, then it would be wise for us to go to the book of Psalms in Scripture. We are going to be looking specifically this morning at Psalm 23 as it relates to trust, and even more importantly, as it relates to refreshment, a time for refreshment. So I'm going to read Psalm 23 in its entirety. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So, how do we find a time of refreshment in the Lord? How do we find that? Well, first, we need to know whose we are. Remember, it's not who we are, it's really whose we are. When King David wrote this psalm, Psalm 23, and how God meets our deepest needs, David did not envision some beggar crawling to a disinterested rich Lord, or some terrified, trembling slave standing before a cruel and harsh master. No way. Instead, David gives us a clear word picture starting in verse 1 of a loving shepherd and his dependent sheep that are so desperate for his care and love. David grew up a shepherd, so he was an expert on this relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. You know, actually, sheep are mentioned over 500 times in Scripture, more than any other animal. And people are referred to as sheep close to 100 times in Scripture. So why the strong reference to sheep in Scripture? Well, there were many shepherds in those times and in that culture, so people could really relate to that example. But let's also look a little bit more closely at how God designed sheep and why this reference and comparison is so key to us. First one, number one, sheep need direction. Sheep have no internal compass like many other animals do. Cats and dogs many times can instinctively find their way home when they get lost, but sheep are a whole different story. They are turned around and confused rather easily. They need a shepherd to guide them, or they are goners for sure. Number two, sheep are defenseless. Most animals have some type of protection or defense mechanism, whether that be sharp teeth or sharp claws or some type of fast speed or a heightened sense of smell or sight or hearing. Strength, camouflage, and the list can go on. Again, not sheep. They have none of these things. Sheep are totally vulnerable from attack from predators that want to destroy them. They need the shepherd for the utmost protection. Number three, sheep are fearful. They are extremely skittish and they spook very easily. They are emotionally very reactive to others, and they completely act out of fear. They need the shepherd to calm them down and to help them to rest. Number four, sheep can be filthy. Other animals can clean themselves by licking or rolling around in the grass,
to help get clean? Not sheep. Sheep carry many parasites and remain dirty and sick unless the shepherd cleans them off and heals them. And finally, sheep are dependent. Many other animals can find food and water on their own, not sheep. Sheep cannot survive more than a day on their own. And in fact, many shepherds will carry the sheep around their neck on each side of their shoulders as a way to bond with the sheep. The shepherd knows each sheep by name. All these things are God's design for sheep. And in so many ways, we as human beings are like sheep, aren't we? Like sheep, we were not created to try and make it through life on our own. Isaiah 53:6 says this, "All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Jesus says in Matthew 9:36 that we are weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And because we are designed by God, our shepherd, to have a personal relationship with him, when we don't have that, something will be off. Regardless of if we try to hide or try to deny that, we'll sense something missing from our lives until we not only come to know God, but when we have a personal relationship with God as well. And I don't care what we think our status is here on earth, whether we are poor and unknown or rich and famous, until we have that personal relationship with Christ, something will be sorely missing from our life, and we will not find true peace or refreshment for our souls. So again, the question is not, who are we? Rather, the real question is, whose are we? We belong to Jesus Christ. And the only way to find true and lasting refreshment is to realize that our whole existence, our whole purpose, belongs to him. But for some reason, there is so much kickback on that truth, isn't there? Why do so many people not want to give God full control of their lives? Is it because they think God really doesn't care about them? That God is unfeeling or a strict disciplinarian? Is it because they think that good will be withheld from them, almost like God will hold out on them? Or is it because they think that God will make them give up the things they enjoy doing? Some people have the idea that following God's plan will make them miserable and having no fun. Do any of these questions sound familiar to us? We may have heard these things before. We may have said these things before. We may have believed these things before. But here's the thing. They're all lies, every single one of them. Satan has been lying about God from the very beginning, and he's not going to stop now. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1, starts with this lie from the enemy. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he," Satan, "said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And then Satan continues with his lies in verse 4, saying, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." What a filthy lie that was. And at that moment, unfortunately, when Adam and Eve followed Satan, not only did they die spiritually because they became separated from God at that moment, but they died physically as well. Though they did not die immediately, the death process began to take hold of their bodies, which eventually would end in their physical death one day. The truth is, God does not want to rip you off, and God does not want to ruin your life. Instead, God wants to give you a fulfilling, full life that you were meant to live. Now remember, we're not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity here. Instead, we're talking about a peace that passes all understanding. And here's the key: regardless of any circumstance you've been through or what you're going through right now, God wants to give you a long-lasting, never-running-out refreshment. And David is saying here in Psalm 23 that because the Lord is our shepherd, we lack nothing. We find refreshment in knowing who he is. And because we are his, we also find refreshment in the Lord when we trust him to provide. We trust him to provide for us. Let's look at verse 2 of Psalm 23. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still, quiet waters. You know, sheep will only lie down when they feel secured and satisfied and relaxed. The sheep trust the shepherd for all their food and water, for their protection and their peace, so they can lie down and rest in peace. You know, sometimes we hurry up in life so much and we have our minds on 10 different things at once that a lot of times we are not able to rest, and we miss the things that are most important in our life that God is trying to show us and give us. God does not want that for his children. So God shapes our circumstances so that we can only come to him for that true refreshment that doesn't run out. So what is God gently trying to tell us about the circumstances we find ourselves in right now? What is he trying to tell you? And is there anything we need to surrender to him regarding this? Verse 3 says, he restores my soul, that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This word restore. Restore means to turn back or to show the way back home. Sometimes we get off track and we drift away from God. But Jesus is always seeking to restore us back to relationship with him. Sheep were created with needs that only the shepherd can fill. Humans were created with needs that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. And there are so many paths in life to take, aren't there? And most of them will end up in a dead end. But we can trust Christ to lead us when we follow him. Why? Why should we follow him as he's leading us? Because he's the only one who really knows that path. We don't. The book of Proverbs says this regarding following God and him guiding our paths. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So, we have a time for refreshment when we know whose we are. We have a time for refreshment when we trust him to provide. And finally, we have a time for refreshment when we rely on God's presence. Let's look at verse 4 and 5 here. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Right there, that tells us there will be times of overwhelming pain. There will be crushing moments in life, but we never have to go through it alone because God is there for us. God's presence changes everything in our life. So whether we are sick, whether we are afraid, whether we are lonely, whether we are overwhelmed, we can be comforted because God will protect us. It's His promise. And God cannot lie. Verse 6 finishes off Psalm 23 with this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the older I become, the more I realize that life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. And it's one step at a time. And it's a lifelong journey. And here's the key. It's a lifelong journey with a final destination. King David said that he was going to spend forever with God in God's house. Think on that for a moment. We can spend forever with God in heaven for all eternity. Have you ever thought about where you're going to spend eternity? Where will we be when our time on earth is done and over? This life is really not our home, is it? Our life is only one very small little part of the entire whole story. Our permanent home, our forever home, is with Christ one day. And we cannot work to get to heaven. Jesus Christ has done all the work. He's the only one that could do the work to justify us to get to heaven. But God did give us the decision to not only accept what Christ did, but to believe it and live our whole life in that truth. Remember, the world can never give true refreshment. So that also means that the world should not be able to take away our refreshment then either. We can believe that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice and he paid for our sins on the cross. And then we can receive Jesus as our Savior and as our Shepherd at this moment right now. Our Shepherd wants us. Our Shepherd wants you. We can trust him that he will give us all we need and that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Not now, not ever. Will you let Jesus be your Savior and Shepherd in your life? We can trade the emptiness of this world for true and real refreshment that our soul longs for and that never, ever runs out. So whether it's recommitting to a relationship to God, or maybe it's for the very first time, I want to encourage all of us to take a moment right now and talk to God out loud or in your head silently and ponder these things with the Lord and meditate on him and let him speak to you right now. Let's take a moment and then I'll close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being with us. Lord, you are for us, you're not against us. And you're longing for us to return to fellowship and relationship with you. Lord, for believers who accept you as their Lord and Savior, but have put other things in its place, Lord, have been distracted and looked to other resources to fill them back up and to refresh them. Lord, let us see how futile that is, and let us remember that that does not satisfy. It never does. It's never a long-lasting fulfillment when we try to fill that on our own. Lord, let us come back to you. Lord, let us spend time with you. Lord, let us surrender back home to you. All we need to do, Lord, is turn back around. And you're right there. Lord, if this is for the first time, I pray, Lord, that we accept you as our Savior and know that there's nothing we bring to the table. All we have to do, Lord, is believe and repent and let you change us and sanctify us, Lord. There's a real change that happens when we accept you as our Savior. Lord, let us not keep that to ourselves. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit's fruit then can start coming out of us, and we share that humbly yet boldly with other people. Walk us through that journey, Lord, for the first time. Lord, we thank you for giving us refreshment, that we can trust you, that we can know whose we are, Lord, that we can rely on your presence alone when there is a lot of craziness going on around us. Thank you, Lord, for always being steady and being there forever and never changing. There are so many things that change in our society and in our world. Thank you, Lord, for always being the same. Thank you for your never-ending promises. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So thank you so much for joining us for this last message in the sermon series. Hey, if you have recommitted your life to the Lord, or maybe for the first time you've accepted Christ as your Savior, we would love to hear from that. You can go on our webpage and go on Facebook, give us an instant message. You can text us, call us. We'd love to be able to cheer you on and just pray for you. Hey, God bless, and we'll see you really soon.